Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Amen. Well, listen, church, we're going to get into the word today. I'm going to pray. We're going to take a minute while we pray and bless Pastor Don in Acts 29 there in Haiti as well. And I'm excited for us to be challenged and changed by the power of God's word and spirit today. So let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we love you. God, we thank you today for what you've done, for the ministry, God, that's come from heaven, God, in the hearts and lives and people. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're our Father and we're your children. And God, nothing can separate us from you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that today over the next few minutes, God, give us ears to hear. God, give us a heart to understand. Lord, I ask that, God, as we get into your word today, Lord, that we see, Lord, how you are speaking, God, how you're moving, and God, that we say yes to those things to continue to be the church that moves forward to make disciples and make a difference. And Lord, I pray today as we're able to celebrate what's happening in Haiti, God, one of the many missionaries and ministries we support here at Makers, God, continue to bless Pastor Don in Acts 29. Ministries. May their best days be ahead of them. God, may their school, God, touch thousands. May their ministries continue to see families and lives change and generations to come change because of their faithfulness in the amazing nation of Haiti. So Lord, we bless them today, speak life over them, and we thank you, Lord, for your word and your goodness in our lives today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're ready to receive, somebody say amen. Amen, amen. Church, it's so good to see you on this Father's Day. I want to get into the word today and continue our series, Just Like Jesus. And if you remember last week, we talked about Just Like Jesus, but we also shared a little bit about the vision and strategy as we finished the second half of 2022 together here at Makers Church. And we shared about this movement entitled the Greater Than 20 Movement. Somebody look to your neighbor and say Greater Than 20. Greater Than 20. We're going to talk about that again today. We're going to continue to build on that today together. But as we do that, let's first talk about the scripture that's given us the foundation for our entire series, Just Like Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Here is what God's word says. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. What does that mean? That means very simply, we are to live our lives just like Jesus. Everybody say, just like Jesus. We are to live our lives just like Jesus. And so we have seen and understood throughout this series, church, we have seen and understood it. That's this, that is God's command, listen, for each of us and for all of us. How many of you guys know that that scripture doesn't just apply to some of us? All of us. Each of us and all of us. For all of us to live our lives just as Jesus did. Say, Pastor, why is that for all of us? Are you ready? Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example. In fact, I'll go further. Jesus is our standard. Amen. Jesus, somebody say that. Jesus is our standard. Jesus is our standard. We are, listen, we as the church, we're his bride. We are supposed to be his reflection and his representation in the earth. We are supposed to be his reflection and representation in the earth. So it's with this understanding that we are called to live just like Jesus, that we unveiled what we believe is strategy from heaven. How many of you guys know God will give vision and strategy from heaven? He does it if we'll listen. He does it if we'll listen and then do on what he's called us to do. That we shared last week here at Makers for the second half of this year called the Greater Than 20 Movement. The Greater Than 20 Movement. And as we unpack this, let me review, because some of you weren't here, some of you were here, but if your week's been like mine, you forgot a few things. So we're gonna talk about it today, the Greater Than 20 Movement. Let's talk about it. So if you remember all the way back in 1906, there was this Italian economist named Vilfredo Pareto. Look to your neighbor and say, I want pasta. Come on, tell them, I want pasta. Vilfredo Pareto, and he discovered something, this principle that he saw way back in 1906, that 80% of the wealth in his nation was owned by 20% of the population. that 80% of the wealth in his nation was owned by 20% of the population. And then he discovered other examples. And throughout time, since 1906, this theory, this principle, this premise has been seen at a macro and a micro level, really centered around this, that a minority, usually 20%, is typically creating a majority. That a minority is typically creating a majority. And this has been seen really in every sphere of our societies and cultures, even in personal lives around the world. And so that minority is typically creating a majority. So what does that mean? That means 80% of activity requires usually 20% of resources. That means that 20% of products bring in 80% of the profit. 20% of sales are done by 80% of 20% of salespeople make 80% of the sales. Even 80% of problems come from 20% of the causes. Now, in the church, we've seen that this principle is also present. And how many of you guys know the Pareto principle in the church is not a good thing? The Pareto principle in the church is not a good thing, but it's present in the church. Let me give you some examples, some statistics that you could see as well. This, that 20% of the church body makes up 80% of the volunteer base. That's true. For so many churches around the globe, listen, 20% of a church's givers make up 80% of a church's total revenue. 20% of the church family does 80% of the inviting to church. By the way, on your card today, on your seat today, there were three cards that say better together. If you've been sitting on them, they're nice and warm. Take them out and look at them just for a minute. These are invite cards to our church. We talked about sharing last week. Listen, how many of you guys know, as I drop mine on the ground, how many of you guys know that all of us are called to be sharers? Not some of us, all of us. So prayerfully find a way to share these. Listen, you can give these to somebody at a restaurant. Listen, you can go buy somebody a gallon of gas today and bless them tremendously. But take these, invite somebody to church. All you have to do, you're just sharing about your church, your faith, you're sharing about Jesus. But we want you to take these and continue to share together in Jesus' name. But we see that this principle, this Pareto principle, if you will, it's active and it's so present in so much of our world today and even in the church. But let me ask this question. How many of you guys know that this principle and statistic should not be true in the church? It should not be true in the church. Why? Because the Pareto principle is not a kingdom principle. The Pareto principle is not a kingdom principle. Listen to me. The world can operate with the 80-20 rule all they want. They can let a minority create or do a majority. But listen to me. Here at Makers Church, right here in this kingdom movement called Makers, listen, we are made different. Come on, somebody. If you believe that, somebody say, we're made different. We're made different. If we're made different, what does that mean? That means that we're greater than 20 in Jesus' name. That means that we're greater than 20. Come on, find three people and tell them, say, you're greater than 20. Come on, you're greater than 20. We want to be greater than 20. Listen, that's why Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 43, he said, you lead by a different model. You lead by a different model. John 18, 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So if God's kingdom that we're a part of is not of the world, should the principles of the church reflect the principles of the world? No. Though, listen, in all sincerity, the principles of the world should not even be allowed into the church. In fact, just like we're really intentional about what we create in the church, we should also be intentional about what we protect from the church. And too many times, listen to me, too many times we try to protect the church from people when we should be protecting it from principles. You want me to go there for a minute? Why? Because the church is supposed to be a hospital, not a country club. So we shouldn't be protecting the church from people. We should be loving people and bringing them in the house, no matter how jacked up their life is, no matter how many mistakes they've made. Why? Because there was a time you came into the church and you didn't have your stuff together either, but God's love came down and transformed and changed you, and you found out that he is a good father and he is perfect in all of his ways. Come on, if you're thankful for a father, somebody give the Lord praise. He's a good father. He's a good father. But we have to see this. The bride and body of Christ should never be aligned or defined by a worldly principle. The body of Christ should never be aligned or defined by a worldly principle. The body of Christ should never be a statistic. The body of Christ should never be the statistic. Rather, just like Jesus, we must be the standard. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. Just like Jesus, we must be the standard. Why? Because Jesus is our standard. Jesus is our standard. So, Pareto's principles, guess what? They're fine for businesses, organizations, and institutions. But guess what? The kingdom of God is none of those things. The kingdom of God is not a business, it's not an institution, it's not an operation. What is the kingdom of God? What is the local church? We are a family and we're an army. Come on now. We're a family and we are an army. And listen, in any home or military unit, every single person has an important contribution to make. Whether it's a home or a military unit, every family member has an important contribution to make. Each and all have a part. Each and all have a part. You say, Pastor, why? Listen, when we are more effective and efficient when everyone is doing what they were designed and equipped to do. We're more effective and efficient when everybody is doing what they were designed and equipped to do. How many of you guys know what 1 Corinthians 12 says? So we need to read our Bibles more. 1 Corinthians 12, zero hands. Okay, great, let's go look at it really, really quick. 1 Corinthians 12, we see God's design for his church, a complete body. Somebody say body. We see in 1 Corinthians 12, a complete body not working against each other, working with each other. And guess what's happening? Not a minority doing a majority, but all doing together. So see this, 1 Corinthians 12, we're starting with verse 12. Just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. Then verse 18, but God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as he desires. A diversity is required. For if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many different parts and functions, but how many bodies? One. Verse 25, he has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern and so that there would be no, somebody say division. No division in the body. You are the body of the anointed one, Jesus, and each of you is a unique and vital part of it. Come on, I want you to tell your neighbor, say, we're a part of the same body. Come on, tell them. We're a part of the same body. And can I go ahead and break your religious bubble? That means the church down the road is the part of the same body that we are. Come on, somebody. This is no religious thing. We are one kingdom moving together. If they champion Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're going to ride with them and do great things in this city for the kingdom of God. But I need you to see it. I need you to see it. We are one body. And what does the text say? Every member, each of you, each of us are unique and vital part of the body. So can I go ahead and make this declaration again like I made it last week? It's this. Maker's Church will not be defined by a statistic and principle known as 80-20, but by the standard and person known as Jesus. Let me go ahead and say it one more time. Maker's Church will not be defined by a statistic and principle known as 80-20, but by the standard and person known as Jesus. If you believe that, somebody give the Lord praise that we're stepping into that together in Jesus' name. The standard will be Jesus. And so we shared last week about this strategic initiative. We believe it's from the Lord, greater than 20, greater than 20. And this greater than 20 movement is centered and it's focused around four main components. It's centered and focused around four main components: sharing, serving, sowing, and shining. Everybody say those with me. Sharing, serving, sowing, and shining. Those four main components. And what's interesting, now we talked about sharing last week, but what's interesting is two of those components are for when what we do when we gather in the house. But two other components are for for when we go out of the house. Why? Because you can't make disciples and a difference just sitting right here. You got to go into the world and shine the light of Jesus and make disciples and make a difference in the world in which we live as well. Amen? Amen. So let's see this now. Sharing and shining, that's for when we go out the house. Sharing and shining is for when we leave the church campus and go into the world as Jesus sent us in John 17. But serving and sowing, those are a little deeper than you probably think they are just when you see them. But that's for when we gather together as the body of Christ, whether it's Sundays, whether it's first Wednesdays, no matter what it is, we're serving and we're sowing in Jesus' name. And so we can see that those four components shape this. And listen, that means that we're committed to how many of them? Oh, man, you guys are good today. You're on it. All of them. We're committed to all of them. And how many of us are committed to all of them? Oh, my goodness. You guys are two for two. Not some of us. All of us are committed. All of us are committed. Why? Because we're better when we're all doing it together. We're better when we're all doing this thing together. And so you can see these four components, serving and sowing, shining, sharing. Listen to me, it's so important. And let me answer the question because some of you guys weren't here. Because I know what some people are thinking, well, Pastor, are you talking about this because these four components fall into the 80-20 rule here at Makers? Not exactly. Not exactly do they fall into the 80-20 rule. But I will tell you this, and I said it last week. We are talking, part of the reason we are talking about this is because those four things that we talked about, some of those things are closer to being the statistic than being the standard. See that? That means some of those things are closer to falling into that principle than they are of setting the standard beyond it. And so what does that mean? Does that mean that we have an obstacle? No, that means we have an opportunity. That means we have an opportunity as the body of Christ to say yes. Somebody say yes. You guys remember, we believe this is a yes here in Jesus' name, that we're gonna unite our yes with Jesus and we're gonna say yes to everything he's already said yes to, that we get the opportunity to say yes to saying right here at Makers Church, we will not be the statistic, we'll be the standard. We will not be the statistic, we will be the standard. And so we can see that even though it doesn't exactly fall into it, we wanna continue to step into the fullness that God has. I said this last week, I think it's important. You say, well, Pastor, why is this so important? Because God loves Cincinnati. How many of you guys know God loves this city? He loves this city. And he loves Skyline more than Gold Star. I'm just kidding, I just divided people. I'm just kidding. No booing is allowed. Not yet. Boo me after. No, listen, he loves Cincinnati. He loves Makers Church. Listen to me. He desires not for his people to live in mediocre maintenance. God does not want you to live in mediocre maintenance. He doesn't want his church at large to live in mediocre maintenance. He wants his people to live in miraculous multiplication. He wants his people to walk and live in miraculous multiplication. Listen, that only happens when we are intentional about being greater than 20. That only happens when the church stops being okay with being the statistic and we start committing ourselves to being the standard. Why? Was Jesus the statistic? No, he was anything but. Jesus was the standard. And if Jesus was the standard, he's our standard. He is our standard. So see this, as we're talking about this morning, as we're looking at this greater than 20 concept. Listen, so what is this? You say, well, Pastor, is this about our church getting bigger? No, it's about our church getting stronger. Come on, it's about our church getting stronger. Listen, this is about Makers Church and every person at Makers flourishing in the plans, and listen, in the plans and the purposes that God has for us. So what does that mean? God does not want us to flatline. God wants us to flourish. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So let's give an example really quick. How many of you guys know with most of our cell phones and devices, especially if they are Apple, when you get to 20%, you get a notification? Throw that on the screen, Tanya. It should be a picture there people can see. If you have an Apple device, and if you don't, we'll pray that you get saved soon. Check this out. Hopefully you can see this. It says it right. Can everybody see what that says? Ooh, I'm about to preach in a minute. When your device gets to 20%, you get this notification that says your battery is low. Would you like to switch to low power mode? And what it does is it offers this mode that will disable some of the device's features and services in order to preserve and conserve the battery that's left. But it disables functions and services and things that are great about it. Listen, these little things are sweet pieces of technology. How many of you guys know that in your hand most of the time you have the strongest computer that the world's ever seen? So these little things are amazing pieces of technology. They were designed to make life better. They were designed to help you flourish. But all of a sudden, when the battery gets low, when it gets to 20%, all of a sudden, instead of this thing flourishing, what does it do? It flatlines. It barely functions the way that it was intended to. Now, here's what's crazy. Here's what's crazy. Do you know the percentage that it gets to when it says low power mode goes off? 80%, that's right. Now that's strange, and look to your neighbor and say, God does not operate in coincidences, come on. But you gotta see this, you gotta see this. It stays at low power mode until it gets to 80%. So how does this apply to the church? For too long, the church has been operating in low power mode. For too long, listen to me, for too long the church has been in low power mode. Instead of flourishing the way that we've been anointed to flourish, we've been flatlining. We've been more concerned with preserving and conserving rather than operating with fire from heaven and big faith to go and reach nations with the gospel. We're more concerned with our traditions and our past than what God's calling us to in the future. Why? Because we've been operating in low power mode. Can I keep going? You know I was going to keep going anyway, but listen. Listen. For too long, we've been flatlined. See, just like this device loses features and functions, the church has been disabled because we have been flatlined. We have lost things that God told us we could have because we're not saying yes to being the standard. We've been settling for the statistic. So what does that mean? That means we've had the form and the look, but we haven't had the power and the function. I believe God wants to change that in this season for the church. I believe God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above that that we could ask or think again. But guess what? He's already said it, so he's waiting on you to step into it and say yes to everything that he wants you to do in your life. If you believe that, say amen. So let's talk about it for a minute because this is important. This is important. The church has been losing features and functions have been disabled, characteristics. Listen, where we should have been thriving, we've barely been surviving. You say, well, Pastor, what have we been forfeiting? This is where it gets deep. See, I believe when the church operates in low power mode, listen, what do we lose? We lose the supernatural. Come on now. When we operate in low power mode, we give up the supernatural. Listen, it goes further though. When we operate in low power mode, we literally disable kingdom living and kingdom power. We don't have it the way we could. How about we go further and say this? The Great Commission all of a sudden is flatlined rather than flourishing. Making disciples and making a difference, it's disabled the way it should be empowered. This is the one that really scares me even further, church. When we operate in low power mode, we lose the ability to raise our sons and daughters in the fullness of what God said they were supposed to be. We forfeit purity for our sons and daughters. It's real. The church has been operating in low power mode for way too long. And what we have to do is say, you know what? If that is a reality for the church at large, then today we must make a decision as the true ecclesia, as the true church in the earth, that we will never settle to be the statistic again, but we will say yes to being the standard. We will be greater than 20. If you believe that, somebody say amen. We will be greater than 20. Now, come on, somebody declare it. Say, we're greater than 20. We're greater than 20. We're greater than 20. So what is greater than 20 about? It's about each of us and all of us becoming disciples of Jesus. It's about us going into the world and bringing people so they can encounter the truth that we experience every week. It's about finding people and making disciples, teaching them what it means to love the Lord and live for the Lord and choose Jesus in their thoughts and their words and their actions. It's about us being committed to being the bride of Christ the way Jesus designed us to be, instead of being what we've allowed society to tell us to be. We're done being the statistic. How many of you guys know that every church should be done being the statistic? And we should be committed to being the standard. We're done being the statistic. May we be the standard in Jesus' name. And may we be greater than 20. Somebody say, we're greater than 20. We're greater than 20. We're greater than 20. We're greater than 20. And so what I want us to see today, church, is this. Last week we looked at sharing. What did we talk about sharing? We talked about sharing our faith. We talked about sharing Jesus with those around us. And we talked about sharing our church. Now, what we did last week is we had yard signs and t-shirts and car decals. Listen, if you missed last week, you missed Grater's ice cream. That was your fault, okay? Don't use the excuse you were on vacation. I told you to cancel your vacation, so you missed out. I'm just kidding. Don't cancel your vacation. But we did that. And listen, all those things are going to be available today in our foyer. Listen, I will tell you right now, people show up when they see things about your church. They ask questions. Why? Because God is more interested in building his church than we are. So he's going to use any yes that we give to God, he's going to use it to advance his church in the earth. And so we talked about sharing last week, being committed to people that share. We even went to Acts chapter 2, and we saw how many times the New Testament church that was newly formed, how many times they just shared. They shared everything together, and they shared about Jesus every chance they got. Listen to me. The challenge remains this week. Be a sharer. Look to your neighbor and say, be a sharer. Be a sharer. Be a sharer of Jesus this week. Be a sharer of your faith this week. Be a sharer of your church. Take these invite cards that we gave you, give them to somebody and say, hey, I'd love to save you a seat at my church on Sunday. Come be with me, because it's not about us. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We gotta be a sharer. But today we're gonna finish our time talking about this. We talked about sharing last week. Today we're gonna talk about serving. Somebody say serving. Let's talk about serving. How many of you guys would believe this, that you and I were saved to serve? You and I were saved to serve. When I say serve, what do I mean? I mean accepting and embracing the position of being a servant in our lives. Accepting and embracing being a servant in our lives. Listen, that means serving consistently here at Makers Church, finding a place where God has gifted you and you just serve. You say, well, Pastor, what if there's no place that fits my gifting? That's not true, number one. But number two, sometimes you just find a place and you just give of yourself, because God honors when we serve. And the other thing, serve those around you. How many of you guys know that, yeah, we serve in here, but you can be a servant in the world? Listen, the old adage that the nice guy finishes last is a lie. You go be godly and watch what the word of God operates and activates inside of you. God opposes the proud, but he exalts the humble. Go serve. So we're talking about being a servant. We were saved to serve. Now, let me go ahead and ask this question as we get into this thing. How many of you guys know that serving is not just for some of us? Oh, it's going to get more serious than this. Serving is not for some of us. It's for all of us. It's for each of us and all of us. Now, let's talk about something. How many of you guys know when you get saved, you get transformed? You're transformed. All of a sudden, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are transformed. And guess what happens when you step into the kingdom? You become a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Isn't that amazing? Listen, we go from slave and delinquent to son and daughter. How beautiful. How supernatural. How many of you are thankful that Jesus does that for us? I'm thankful Jesus does that for us. We go from slave or delinquent to being son and daughter. When we get saved, that's what happened. The blood of Jesus makes us clean. We're righteous before the Lord. But can I tell you, it doesn't stop there. Just like we are sons, we are also called to be servants. Let me show you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9, 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. To serve, everybody say serve. To serve the living God. So we're sons and daughters and we're servants in the kingdom. And let me go ahead and dispel the theory. We don't have to serve, we get to serve. It's a privilege to serve in the kingdom. It's a privilege to give our lives in service unto the Lord. So we get to serve. See this transformation that happens. Listen, it's for each of us and all of us. We get to serve God in his kingdom. It's an honor to serve. Listen, Paul told the believers in Romans 12:1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He said, after all God has done for you, he said, listen, it's not a loss to serve the Lord. It's the least you can do. It's the least, somebody say least. It's the least you can do to serve the Lord. To give yourself and say, Lord, my life is not my own. Because I only have life because you've been good to me. But I give this life to you to serve. And so we see very clearly from God's word, I don't have time to show you everything today, that we recognize and understand, listen, that serving is not a waste, it's worship. Serving is not a waste, it's worship. We honor and please God when we serve. But here's where it goes deep. Not just when we serve him, but when we serve others. Amen, Pastor. Not just when we serve God, but when we serve others. Listen, we are just like Jesus when we serve. We are just like Jesus. Somebody say, I'm just like Jesus when I serve. Let me show you. Mark 10:45. It's the word. You can't argue with this. For even the Son of Man, this is Jesus talking. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. You say, well, Pastor, okay, I'm supposed to serve. Where do I serve? Everywhere, but specifically in the body of Christ. Specifically in your local church, was got the kingdom seal upon it. Look to your neighbor and say, we got to serve. Come on, tell them, we got to serve. We got to serve. Everywhere, yes, but specifically the body and bride of Christ. Let me show you. I'll go further. Galatians 6, verse 10. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of what? That's the body of Christ. We should do good to everybody, but notice, especially to the family of faith. So that means we should absolutely serve and serve consistently, not seasonally. Not when I feel like it. You want the truth? There are some days I don't feel like doing what I'm doing right now. Because like you, I'm a person. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm a big person, but I'm a person. Some days I don't feel like it. But some days I have to choose my faith over my feelings. And I say yes to serving because it is my reasonable service. The least that I could do is use the gifts that God has given me to bless the Lord and bless his people. Come on. No, give the Lord praise. He's good. But I want us to understand something. It's not for some of us. It's for all of us. Serving is for each of us and all of us. Each of us and all of us. You say, well, okay, Pastor, when I come to church, though, I'm coming to get fed. Hang on, I got something. I got props today. I went on Amazon Web Services. Damien, just for the record, that's the worst joke on the planet. I love you, sir. When I come to church, I come to get fed. This is a Pastor Derek-sized bib, by the way, if you're wondering. I tried to get a baby bib, but my neck's too big. So I went on Amazon Web Services, and I got a 3-pack. I'm gonna save them for when I get old. I didn't specify an age. You guys relax. But see this now. So many people say, when I come to church, I'm coming to get fed. Listen, that's great. How many of you guys know God wants you to come here and get fed spiritually? That's a good thing. You're coming. Yes, I'm coming to get fed. I'm coming to have community. I'm coming to build relationship and do all those things and have fellowship. Listen, when you come, I get it. You say, listen, I'm coming to Sunday dinner and I'm coming to eat. You come to the table that the Lord has prepared here at Makers. By the way, how many of you guys know you get a good meal here at Makers Church? You come here and you're like, I'm coming to Sunday dinner. I'm coming to sit and eat. I need it. Listen, I'm 100% with you. You need time to be fed spiritually. And now, just for the record, is this the only meal you eat all week? If it is, you starving, girl. Boy, you're starving. You should be feeding yourself throughout the week. The Word of God, spending time in prayer. You should be feeding yourself. But listen, this is a great meal that you get to come and enjoy. I'm with you. You need that. But listen, while this is always for you, it's not just about you. While this is always for you, it's not just about you. You see, as you grow and progress and mature, how many of you guys know we should be maturing in the Lord? You shouldn't be saved and in 30 years you're still the same person. You should have matured and grown in the Lord. That is what we do. We honor the Lord by progressing and maturing in our relationship with Him. He desires maturity. But understanding this, as you are coming to the table, yes, it is for you, but it's not always about you. But as you grow and mature, you begin to understand, listen, that sitting and being served is needed. This is needed for all of us. To come to the table and be fed spiritually. But can I tell you, also we've got to get to a place where we say, but that's not all I do. See, not only do I have to sit and eat, sometimes I have to stand and I have to serve. Come on, somebody. Now it's going to be the miracle of the Lord if I can get this thing tied behind my back. So I'm just going to keep it right here and wear it like this for a minute. My shoulders, no, I can't. I can do all things through Christ too. Wait, nope, can't do it. Okay, but you guys laugh too hard, man. So listen to me. Some weeks you come and you get fed and you wear your bib, but some weeks you come and you put on your apron and you serve. Some weeks you forget about any title and you just pick up the towel and you say, Lord, I'm here to serve today. I'm here to serve not just you, Lord. I'm here to serve your people. I'm here to serve the sons and daughters. I'm here to serve, Lord, in any capacity you want me to serve. Lord, if there is a need, I'm willing to fill it. Because you didn't tell me I was a son that was entitled. You told me I was a son and my responsibility was to also serve. And so I need us to catch this morning, because so many people, we have gotten to a place where all we do is consume. But the reality is, while consuming is fine, we're also supposed to be contributors. Consuming is good. We need to consume. Sometimes we need to eat, but sometimes we got to take off our bib and put on our apron and serve. Do you believe that? Somebody say amen. And so we can see and understand this rhythm, if you will, about each of us as sons and daughters of God. Listen, we are not just consumers. We must also be contributors. We are a family, and families bless one another. Families bless one another. So what does that mean? That means we contribute when we serve not just God, but each other. Well, Pastor, I was serving, I missed your sermon. That's why we put up a podcast so you can catch it on Monday. Pastor, I can't serve because then I'll miss something else. Listen, why does everybody else have to serve so you don't have to miss it? Oh, that's gonna get deep. We have to begin to ask ourselves these questions again. Because the truth is we're supposed to be greater than 20. 20% of the people should not be carrying 80% of the workload. Well, Pastor, that's okay in the world, but we've established that's a principle for the world, not for the church, not for the kingdom. And so what do we have to see is that we're serving God, we're serving other people, and we have to catch it. Let's ask this sobering question. I'm gonna sit down and be nice on this one. I'm gonna ask a question. Do you think that God is pleased with his kids when they serve him, but they're selfish with one another? Do you think that God is pleased when his kids serve him, but are selfish with one another? Let me go forward. Do you think that Jesus is pleased when his body, who's his body? Us. Do you think that Jesus is pleased when his body that he is the head of is literally trying to move and function with just 20% of its power? Do you think that Jesus is pleased when 80% of his body lets the other 20% serve and serve and serve until they get tired and depleted? You think Jesus is pleased? I don't think Jesus is pleased by that. See, the truth is that when 80% of a body lets 20% of that body do all the work and serve, the body of Christ that's supposed to be victorious overcomers and lead into breakthrough and flourish starts to break down and flatline. When we don't all say yes to serving, what's supposed to be never happens. Because in reality, when everybody's supposed to be contributing together, instead of flourishing, we flatline. And the bride of Christ becomes a statistic when the groom, who is Jesus, is the standard. I know that's strong, but I need you to hear me. It's time for us to be greater than 20. It's time for each of us to be greater than 20. What did Jesus say in Mark 10:45 that's still true today? He said it to those disciples, and he's saying it to these disciples. Even I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Pastor, you don't understand. I actually do understand. I just told you, there are times that it's easier to make an excuse rather than be the example. There are times it's easier to make an excuse than it is to be the example. But Pastor, listen, when it comes to serving, I just can't. The truth is, you just won't. Everybody love me? Do I need to look down while I say the next one? Pastor, I just don't have time. Truth is, you won't make time. Pastor, can't someone else do it? Jesus wants you to do it. Because it's for each of us and all of us. Listen to me, church. Jesus desires his church to be greater than 20. He desires for his church to be greater than 20. Okay, Pastor, I'll serve. What am I supposed to serve with? Thanks for asking. Are you ready? You serve with the gifts that God has given you. How many of you guys know that our God is a good father? The Bible said, listen, the Bible says this in Luke 11:13. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, this whole series, we've been talking about just like Jesus and been talking about the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, just like God the Father is a giver, did you know God the Holy Spirit is a giver? And the Holy Spirit has given gifts to the church. If I say gift, listen, is that gift for you to have a title or a function? A function. That gift is there so you can serve God and serve people. Pastor, what are the gifts? Go ahead and go to that next slide, Tanya, right there. Gifts from the Holy Spirit. You can read all those texts. All those texts right there, you can literally see. That's a lot of gifts, and that's not even all of them. That's a hunk of them. That's what we say in the South. That's a hunk of something. That's what my wife calls me. I'm just kidding. I wish. Gifts from the Holy Spirit. Gifts from the Holy Spirit. All of those gifts, and there are more gifts. God has given you those gifts, listen, to honor God and serve each other. To honor God and serve each other. Now, let's do this really quick. 1 Peter, go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm done. 1 Peter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. God has given each of you, how many of us? God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Use them to serve one another. Listen, nowhere does it say use your gift to be a star. I've said this for a long time. Jesus is not looking for co-stars. Jesus is looking for co-laborers. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another. Now go to verse 11. It actually talks about a couple gifts, and then it says, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then I want you to notice this. Then everything you do, serving unlocks things in your life that nothing else will. Pastor, how do you know? Look at the text. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Just like we were made to be sons, we were made to be servants. And I believe in this season, church, it is so important that we don't only recognize that we have gifts, but we operate in these gifts because they make us stronger and better together. Listen, why would we do this? Because we're committed to being greater than 20. We're committed to not being the statistic, but being the standard.